and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat. That's C-A-T. Who knows, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
But Lord, them eggs is expensive.
Ow, Cat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. If you found either one of us on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We're going to shout out to listeners in the United States, or could be divided at this point. Anyway, our first one is in Ukiah, California. Ukiah is the hub of agriculture and business community. Over the decades, various crops have been grown there in the Ukiah Valley. Pears, green beans, hops, apricots, grapes. As part of California's wine country, the grapes have become a predominant agricultural product. Our other town is Springfield, Massachusetts. Springfield, Massachusetts is renowned for its birthplace of basketball and the home of Basketball Hall of Fame. It's also the birthplace of Dr. Seuss, the beloved children's author. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is always here on the back porch. Recently, I condensed my bucket list. It consists of beer and ice. That's all I need in my bucket. Today, I'm having an old school Bud Light, which is pretty much the only American beer besides Yingling that doesn't suck. Kat, what you got?
I'm drinking a drink called the Transfusion. It's supposed to be the hot drink there at the golf place. You get a cart girl that's got the beer. She might have
the Masters?
No, it's not the Masters. This is some...
The golf place.
Country clubs.
Oh.
Transfusion is a big drink among golf courses, yes.
Wow.
You got the girl with the beers and stuff. She gotcha. Might have the makings to get you a transfusion.
Ooh, sounds sweet.
A little grape like juice, a little vodka, a little ginger ale, and some lime juice. You have been transfused.
So the beer cart girl can hand you one of those on the course.
Well, I watched several TikToks where men are getting mad with women that they don't have makings for the transfusion.
Woo! Didn't know it.
Didn't, you know, like it's a big damn deal that you don't have a damn transfusion in your hand while you've got your putter.
Okay, I won't.
He might have something else in his hand. I don't know.
I'm not going any further with that. Today we asked the question, where did all the bookstores go? Borders, Walden Books, Dalton Booksellers. I think Barnes & Noble still trying.
It's still there. Although right. The one across the street near where our son is living, that one closed.
Yeah. Of course, the reasons for the death of the bookstore are obvious.
Illiterate.
Amazon, which has killed many a business. Just click the mouse and bam,
people
the
are
book
illiterate.
Shows up on the front door. Ebooks, right? Kindle, Nooks, just download whatever your next read is. It's too easy. Cat and I do it. No need to drive to the bookstore and buy a hard copy.
We do it all the time. We use our Nooks rather than going to the bookstore. I mean, and I will confession time, and I will put my confession hand up. I am probably one of the first people who bought from Amazon. As a matter of fact, the first year that they had, you know, big sales, they sent me like a coffee cup. Remember that?
I forgot that that's how they started.
That's how they
started. Amazon was selling books.
It was books. And at some
and then,
point.
Can you imagine now they've just annihilated everybody.
I know.
Everything.
And at some point, I was selling my own books on Amazon.
Okay.
Other people would want my books, and then I would just package it up, put the address on it, and it would go on the way.
Right. Now, back in the day.
Oh, some good money, too.
You know, the book nerds, Remember when you were proud of your book collection?
Right.
You had like a whole wall in the house that was dedicated to displaying all the books, you know, you had bought and read, you know, your own personal library. Now, I guess those days are gone. You know, the bookstore back in the day also was a hang, right? It was quiet, sort of like a library.
You have that guy that thinks he's going to write the next great American novel.
He's got a scarf on, and he went over
to Starbucks.
Right, you know,
with his lapper.
Some of the bookstores added a cafe. Get yourself a nice coffee.
He knew how to spell. He knew how to spell cappuccino.
I don't know. You know, what bookstores are, which ones are left? You know, they're still quiet.
Well, remember when.
But it's from the lack of foot traffic.
Well, remember when you would go to the mall back in my day, that would be like, being the nerd that I was, you would go in and you would just browse and see what was there. And
the
now,
hot cell was out front,
right,
with the little cardboard thing in front. Hey, look, the new book.
The new books are here. But now people go through what, the New York Times and try and pick a book.
I tell you what.
Or the other thing I use now with a Goodreads, you go through and see what other people think of
I'm
that
gonna
book.
I'm going to disagree. I've followed some people who review books and bought the books, and the books sucked.
Now,
so I'm not going to go through that. It's like a movie review. You got to do it yourself.
Now, I've recommended books for you that I think turned out pretty good.
I agree. But anyway, the bookstore, just another brick and mortar that's going by the wayside.
Well, let's see. Let me give you some stats. Let's see. 2023 sales, you had 8.3 billion, decrease from 8.35 billion the year before. Decline sales. I mean, of course, the pandemic, you would think that would have upped the books because you're sitting there at home, but I guess everybody's watching YouTube and TikToks.
Anyway,
or something.
It's kind of sad, you know, that you don't see these big bookstores open, but the small local bookstores are still thriving. People coming in who like, you know, the look and feel of an actual book. Small independent bookstores are keeping the bookstore vibe alive. You know, with the closures of so many of the big retailers, the independent bookstores have been able to stay afloat.
You know, it was great, especially when you have little kids, to have the physical book there in front of you rather than an iPad or whatever.
Again, the ebooks, they capture the major share of the market.
Right.
Amazon rules the roost, selling hard copies and ebooks. The scary thing is, I think Kat mentioned it a little while ago, is the average age of people who actually read it all is between 45 and 65. And what does that say? It says the younger cats.
I can't learn nothing unless it's on a TikTok. I got to do the TikTok.
They're not interested.
No.
Short attention span.
No, very small.
They're not going to read a novel. They're not going to get into a short story. Maybe poetry. That's kind of short. But,
that's
kind of
short.
Reading it all is dying a horrible death. Now, if you know, then you know, you know, that a good book, it can take you out of reality, make you forget your boredom, your problems. A good book can make you think, make you smarter, make you look at life in a different way. You know, if you have a bookstore in your area, go buy a book. Find a quiet spot and let it take you away. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. All right, we got John Maynard Keynes.
Keynes.
Born in 1883 from Cambridge, England. John Maynard Keynes was an English economist and philosopher who influenced economic policies across the world. He refined business cycles, was known as the father of macroeconomics, which is a branch of economics that deals with performance structure and decision making of an economy as a whole. And boy, do we need John Maynard Keynes right now?
Well, considering we just got our import tariff policy from a guy who did his own blow-ups on his book and was picked from his title of his book. No one actually read the book.
In 1999, Time magazine included John Maynard Keynes among one of the most important people of the century. He's been described as having the greatest impact on the 20th century's economy. John Maynard used his profits to support the arts, theater, opera, bought fine works of art. All of that was a part of his life, supported many charities, and he used his smarts to bail out colleges and advise in investing.
He was a member of the famous Bloomsbury Group, a circle of literary and artistic intellectuals that included Virginia Woolf and Bernard Russell.
Big supporter of the women's movement, and that makes John Maynard Keynes one tough son of a bitch. Are we still watching?
We're still watching, and this, everybody knows, who knows me, I am a big fan of the History Channel's Alone. And of course, Fox, who can't come up with their own good ideas anymore.
Thief!
They came up with their own version of not professional, you know, survivalist outdoors people. No, they just got a bunch of people who had families and had a few outdoor skills. And they came up with this stupid crap there in Fox, you can watch it on Hulu, called Extracted. Competitors face extreme conditions in the wilderness where their families watch them via live feed and decide their fate, negotiating either essential items or pressing the extract button to remove the family from the competition.
Well, they're pushing it because it's on like twice a day. They like repeat it during the day and then show the new ones whatever night it comes on. And it's... whatever.
The 12 teams composed of amateur survivalists and two family or friends are sent to a forested area in British Columbia. The competitors of each of isolated there in the wilderness do whatever they can, finding food, building a shelter, sustaining themselves, and their actions are monitored on camera. Oh, there's tons of cameras. There's tons of cameras on this thing. Anyway, the competitors, there's like, you know, supply drops and their fights within the families or who's getting what in supply drop and who's not getting. I mean, there's several survival packages that have been sent. I've been watching this show. There's nothing in them. And that's got to be demoralizing to the competitor sitting there watching the drone drop the box. And like, there's nothing in this box for me. My family doesn't love me anymore. A lot of times, we really haven't had too many families where he can stick it out. He can stick out another day.
Instead, that's the family that doesn't like you. Keep his ass out there.
You know, and a lot of them, they're just like looking at the camera, you know, after the empty box.
I want to come home.
Last week, they freaking took stuff away from people. Oh, you've got to give away your way to make a fire. You've got to give up your sleeping bag. And one guy goes, I've been out here without a sleeping bag. I can't take it another day. Extract me now.
The other problem with Fox is you can't trust it.
You can't trust these people. They want these people squabbling. They do. You know, of course, as we're getting here towards the end, they haven't finished the show. There's like alliances and then there's not alliances anymore. And he's a jerk and they just want the two girls left. Cause then that's all they have to deal with is right. Two chicks. And then their guy will win the game anyway. And one guy
fixed. It's like the NFL is fixed.
One guy they were pissed off was he wasn't doing anything. He was just laying in his shelter.
But he was winning. And burning no fat cells.
And on alone, there was a guy just like him, young guy, sat there in the tent by the river and never did shit. Never did
Winner.
A thing. And ended up just drinking water and winning. So anyway, I'm probably going to end up.
Don't hate the play. I hate the game.
The prize money is quarter of a mil. They're all trying to win.
Look, a quarter of a mil is $250,000. You know, when you say a quarter of $1 million, it's not a million. Okay.
Anyway, extracted, it's a poor man's version of Alone. Alone is much better.
Change the channel. We got a shot. What do we got?
We've got the Kit Kat shot.
We haven't done this one before, three times. No?
We've never done this one. We've had other brown shots, but not this brown shot.
I know you're a fan of the Kit Kat.
Well, you know.
It's one of your favorites.
It's one of my faves. All right. Anyway, it's half an ounce of Frangelico, half an ounce of Bailey's, and half an ounce of creme de coco.
I can already say, ick. All right. Down the hatch. All right, it's sort of like chocolate milk and something else. I don't know. I guess it's a little Kit Kat.
It's a little Kit Kat coming in there.
Yeah, it's kind of a one and done, though. You're not going to be like, let's do Kit Kats
all night long.
Woo! All right, thank you, babe. Today we were bumpered in with a band called The Country Gentlemen. Formed in 1971, didn't know this, from Washington, D.C. John Duffy on mandolin, Charlie Waller on guitar, Eddie Adcock on banjo, and Tom Gray on bass. I'm going to say this, from 1960-something to 1970-something, the Country Gentlemen put out some of the best bluegrass on the planet. And not only did they play good, my boys had style. They look good. Inducted into the International Bluegrass Hall of Fame. Many of the songs the Country Gentlemen wrote, performed, have become bluegrass standards. Bringing Mary Home, New Freedom Bell, Matterhorn, and the song we were bumpered in with today, Fox on the Run. One of the best bluegrass songs ever written.
We've already seen the fox in the backyard. It's pretty prophetic.
I saw the fox on the run when we started today. Check out The Country Gentlemen wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. And we will see y'all down the road.
See ya.
I told the fox I need a place to hide. She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that a poor boy could give her and left me to die like a fox on the run. Like a fox.